Welcome back to the Luke Page Podcast. In this week's episode, I share the truth behind the first 5 years in a coaching business and what you need to be prepared for. All right, here we go. You're listening to the Luke Page Podcast, the number one podcast specifically made for coaches. Get ready for out-of-the-box conversations from the world's leading coaches and experts. We're going to be talking all things business, health, happiness, and just being the most amazing human being that you can. Why? Well, I ask, why not? You see, we're only here once. We've got one life, so let's make this thing count. I believe that we can have it all. All the money, all the love, all the joy, all the success, all the excitement. I'm here for all of it. And if you are too, then come along with me. Let's do this.
Oh, say, can't you somebody? Star-spangled banner for the land of the free.
What is up, everyone? Welcome. what do you think? Star-spangled banner, smashing it out. Don't know the words, but that's okay. Give it a go anyway. All right, a little celebration. I have hit the first 5 years in my coaching business, which is really exciting. and I just I did a post. On Instagram or Facebook, just kind of explaining about going through the first 5 years of my coaching business, the truth behind the first 5 years in my coaching business. And I just wanted to, I thought I'd do a podcast episode to go deeper with it because, you know, in a post, you only get a certain amount of words. You can't really elaborate on things. So here I am. I wanted to do this because I think, you know, chances are you're going to relate to some of the stuff that I've been through. Maybe you've been through it or maybe you're going through it. So yeah, I mean, here's the truth about the first 5 years in my coaching business. I survived it. And that's what it basically felt like a lot of the time, is that I was surviving. Because like when I launched my business back in 2019, little did I know I was about to enter the most challenging and emotionally turbulent time of my life. I'm just like thinking back to my 2019 year old self, and I was ignorant. I had no idea what was about to come. And look, the first year was pretty easy. Yeah, it didn't come without challenges. I mean, that's what, if you're going to grow a business, challenges, that's just a given. That's what you're signing up for. So of course there was challenges and stuff like that, but that was fine. My life outside my business was rosy. Yeah. But it was after the first year when the waves started to hit. So 2020, right? We had COVID. Good old COVID came into our lives. Now, we all experienced that. So you, I don't know, there's probably a few messed up people out there that loved COVID. But ultimately, it was, yeah, it made our lives harder. You know, you went through it, right? We lived in Australia, this country called Australia. And I live in this particular state called Victoria. And the leader of our state, the political leader of our state, just went crazy with the lockdowns. We had, and I don't know where you live, I don't know if you watch the news, but we had, it was labeled the worst lockdowns in the world in our state. I'm not going to go into the details of like what was involved with the lockdowns, but it was just super, super over the top and restrictive, and like we were kind of like caged monkeys, that type of thing. So that didn't make it any easier. Then same in 2020, I think it was around about August or so, you know, just in the middle of COVID's coming through, we're getting locked in our house. My dad gets diagnosed with cancer. And it's the same type of cancer that, how's this, right? It's the same type of cancer that killed my mate, not even a year later. Sorry, not even a year earlier. I remember we have Australian football. It's like a big, especially in where I'm from in Melbourne. Australian football is massive in Australia, especially from where I'm from. And we had the grand final was on. And actually, this was September. So this is 2020. The grand final was on. I remember I was at the supermarket, the grocery store, getting some supplies, getting ready for the big day. And I had a call from my mum saying, hey, Dad's in the bath and he can't get out. Now, my dad's an overweight dude. What does he weigh? Like one, maybe 130, 140, 150, maybe about, yeah, 140, 150 kilos. So pounds, that's like 330 or something like that, 320, I'm guessing. So big dude. And we've got a little old bath at my parents' house and he was, must have been having a bath and he got stuck in it. He couldn't get out. And I was just like kind of laughing because I'm just thinking, here's my good old fat dad stuck in a bath on grand final day. And then my mum said, can you come and help pull him out? And then I'm like, okay, I'll come around. She ended up calling me and said that my brother-in-law came around and got him out. But he was, little did we know is that he had, actually I did, pardon me, I did drive to my mum's house. But by the time I got there, he had been pulled out of the bath. But he was, we kind of had him sitting on the bed and he was just out of it. And he wasn't speaking properly and he was just strange. He was like sitting there and he couldn't speak properly. He couldn't really move. And we're like, oh shit, it looks like he's had a stroke, right? So anyway, he got rushed to hospital and all that type of thing. And they found out he had he had brain cancer, and the tumor was pushing on his, you know, some parts of his brain, which was cutting the blood flow off, which was making him basically couldn't operate properly. So they had to operate super quick, and that's where they found out that he had literally aggressive brain cancer. So that was hard because once I found out it was the type that killed my mate, I knew the fate of my dad. I knew he was gonna die. And it was almost, I still remember when I found out, I was lying, I was on the balcony and I was doing some work, and yeah, I remember where it was sunny, and I don't even know who called me, but what I do remember is when I did find out, it's almost like I grieved his death then. I started grieving his death then because I knew what was going to come. My mate who had died from it maybe 10 months earlier, the same type, he was super committed to stay alive. The shit and lengths he went to beat this thing, which this is like, it's a type of cancer that really no one survives from. Generally, the life expectancy from when you're diagnosed is 6 to 6 months. If you're kind of super healthy, you might last a year and a half. My mate did everything. Crazy intense diets, enemas, got all this special water shit, like went over to Greece and bought this special water or turkey or something like that. Got all these weird, these weird sauna things. He was drinking this fish soup. Like, he did everything and anything he possibly could to beat this thing. And he lasted years and years. He lasted about 5 years. But I knew that even with the commitment that he had, he didn't survive. And my dad, when it comes to health, basically had no commitment. So I knew that, if my mate who's super committed to health and was prepared to do anything to make it, then my dad's got no chance. And I remember my brother calling me, right? And he's like, it's okay, mate. We'll get through it. It's just cancer. We can beat it. And my family didn't understand. My family, they thought that he was honestly going to get through it. I'm like, you guys just don't understand. Like, it was weird because I had to let them go. I had to believe what they wanted to believe, right? So I had to almost grieve in silence, knowing my dad was going to die soon, and my family being ignorant, thinking that, we can beat, that type of, it's cancer, people beat cancer, we can do it, positive thinking. But here I was knowing the truth and the inevitable thing that was going to come. So that was hard to deal with, right? So once my dad got diagnosed, he had to have an operation to, cut out part of the tumor, which, you know, otherwise he would have died within a couple of weeks. And there's just his, you know, heavy dude. He couldn't even get around. He couldn't walk after that. And just life got hard. Now, mind you, we're in extreme lockdowns. We weren't allowed to travel. And here it is. I've got my dad basically, you know, his life. I don't know how long he's got. I'm thinking maybe 6 months. We're in extreme lockdowns. We're not allowed to travel. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm not sitting here following these lockdowns whilst and lose the last chance that I get with dad, the last time of my life that I get with my dad. So I was breaking the lockdowns. I was traveling to see my dad during COVID, during these extreme lockdowns, risking getting fines of $5,000 and going to jail and all this shit that we were basically put on us because we weren't allowed to drive. It was just really hard. Now, mind you, remember, I'm not even going into here with all this stuff here. I'm sharing all this because in the background, I'm still building my business, right? These are just stuff that's happening in my personal life. Now, the next thing is that, you know, going through COVID, I didn't get vaccinated. My wife, we both didn't. You know, my wife was pregnant. We finally fell pregnant after a, you know, couple of years of trying, and my wife's body was fucked up. We had to get a, you know, my wife's body got wrecked from being on the pill, which, you know, falling pregnant was bloody hard. She had to go through all this shit to get her body right again. We had a miscarriage. That was bloody painful. Yeah, when it come time, we fell pregnant again. And I mean, that's one thing I forgot to mention. We had a miscarriage just after COVID. When we finally found time, we got kept pregnant again, right? And we're just like, when you have a miscarriage, if you've had a miscarriage before, you'll understand this. When you have a miscarriage and you get pregnant again, you're fucking freaking out. You're scared as hell because you've already lost one. And you don't want it to happen again. So this all happened where my wife fell pregnant again, and it was timed well, the vaccines were coming out, right? And mind you, we weren't, like, my wife wasn't even drinking milk. Like, it was all this stuff. She did anything and everything to make sure her body, like, anything that could possibly be a risk to this baby, she stopped it. Didn't ever take any drugs. No Panadol. Which is like a headache tablet. No headache tablets. Wasn't even drinking milk and cheese or just shit like this, right? And then we were forced to take a vaccine that didn't have any proof whether it was safe or not, right? So we decided together that we're not going to get this vaccine. And if you didn't get vaxxed, you will understand what you were made to feel like in the world. If you basically didn't get vaxxed, and if you did get vaxxed, and look, nothing against it, do your thing, right? But we were outcasted by the world. We were made to feel like we were murderers, yeah, that we were evil people. And we're just basically saying, hey, based off our beliefs, based off where we're at in life, based off having a little baby in my wife's tummy, we ain't doing it. We're not risking it. We will value. We want a baby, and we're not going to do anything to risk its life or put it in harm or jeopardy, right? So the thing with that is that I'm quite an honest and out there and transparent person, yeah? And especially me having a profile online, I speak about what's going on in my life. So I spoke about that, you know, what we were doing. I spoke up and I shared online that I wasn't getting vaxxed. So it was kind of like, it wasn't a secret. Everyone knew. Friends, family, my audience knew that I wasn't vaxxed. And yeah, I had people unfollow me. I had neighbors stop talking to us. We didn't get invited. My nana, who ended up passing away, I wasn't allowed to go to her 90th birthday, not because of my nana, but because of another family member. So this was really hurtful to go through all this. Like, it was, this was like the first time in my life where I experienced where it was almost like I was outcasted, and it hurt. It was really hard going through this, and I had so much anger towards people. Anger towards the people that were calling me, like, you know, saying that I was a murderer, because I'm like, I'm just a good person here. Like, you know, I'm not going out to intentionally hurt people, but, you know, I don't like authority. If people try and force me into do shit, I will turn around and do the opposite, yeah? So when this all stuff was coming down and we were being forced to do stuff, like, I've been rebellious my whole life. I'm a rebellious kid. And when people force me to do shit, I rebel. So this was just me, little old rebellious Luke, rebelling against authority. Hey, I just want to quickly jump in here to tell you about this awesome new training that I put together. It's called the 3 Steps to Get to 10K a Month as a Coach. Now, if you're a coach and you're currently making under 10K each month, and you want to know how you can get there for yourself, how you can be doing 10K months, month after month, then you probably want to check out this really awesome training. Now, I've kept it short, only goes for 14 minutes. You don't even need to opt in, so save your email for another spammer. To watch it, head to www.lukepage.com.au/10K. I'm going to pop that link in the show notes. But anyway, let's get back to the episode. So next thing is my dad dies. And and yeah, that was hard. Yeah, it was yeah, it was hard going through all that. It was really hard. And I guess what's probably making me upset about thinking about that is that soon after he died, yeah, 3 months after he died, our son Louis was born. And yeah, it hurts that I'll never get to see my dad with Louis. All right, so yes, our son, the next year, our son's born, right? And if you're a parent and you've had kids, you know that bringing kids in the world isn't the easiest thing. Oh my God, so funny. So what comes with having a kid? And by the way, I'm not complaining here. What I'm sharing here is I'm not sharing the, because for example, yeah, it's hard having the kids, but fuck, it's magical, right? So, you know, this ain't a pity. I'm not doing a pity party right now. 100% not. So if I do not want you to, if you're like, oh my God, I'm feeling sorry for Luke, don't feel sorry for me. No, I'm just sharing my story. And, you know, all this stuff here has, the amount of gifts, learnings, and growth I've got out of this, I'm so, so lucky that all this happened to me. And in all these waves that have hit me, one after the other, right, I've had so many amazing, magical moments. So many, yeah. So, yeah, what comes with, usually a lot of the time, what comes with after you have a baby is, well, we drop down to one income, right? Because my wife is off work. So, you know, we had financial stress come in. We had parental stress just of being parents, right? And all the shit that you deal with and the lack of sleep. And, you know, you start fighting amongst each other. So we had, you know, marital stress between my wife and I. So all the stuff and all the crap, the hormones that, you know, Courtney goes through, the swings. So all that started happening. So if you've got kids, you generally, if you got through bringing up the little bubbers in the early stage and you were stress-free, then you're a unicorn. Congrats. But most parents really go through struggles just in the first couple of years of bringing up a kid. So we just went through the kind of the standard struggles, right? Nothing serious, you know, the kid getting sick and going to hospital, like nothing super serious, but just kind of the normal struggles that parents go through. So we went through all that. Then we had my wife's nana dies. And my wife was super close with the nana. Like she was our favorite. She was our favorite in the family. And yeah, we lost her. And she went quick. She had been battling cancer, but it was like she was this is the next year, because my dad died on Christmas Eve. So this is, I think, July, I think it is, next the year after, so probably 6 months later. And yeah, she was kind of, she'd been battling cancer for a couple of years, but it was almost like she was getting through it, right? But she went down really quickly and then we lost her. I think it was maybe 3 months later, we then lost my wife's pop, which is the husband of the nana. He dies. And he went down quick and he passed real quick. Same deal. Then maybe 2 months later after that, my nana dies. And this was my last grandparent. And my nana was kind of like, I don't know, she's an artist. And because I'm a very creative person. And my nana and I just got each other. We had this out of the family. We were the creative ones. Like I grew up playing music, and my nana was an artist, and she started learning the, how's this? I mean, amazing woman. She started learning the ukulele and joined like a little ukulele band when she was like 80 years old or 85 years old or something like that. So yeah, I lost her. And yeah, I mean, look, with Nana, difference to my dad. My dad's kind of a sad story, because he wasn't that old. He was only 71 when he died. So he should have lived longer. My Nana was 92, so she had lived her life, you know. So when my Nana passed, I was happy for her. She'd been in a nursing home and she wasn't painting anymore, and I just knew that would have eaten her up. So yes, sad you lose your Nana, but happy for her to go, right? So we just had all this death after death, death after death. And just through all this, like, yeah, my wife and I, just our relationship was breaking down, just with all the stresses that we're going through, yeah. We'd gone from being so solid as a couple, so solid, to being the opposite, to being a tight team where we loved each other, we supported each other, we encouraged each other. We valued like very similar things that are super important in our lives, and we basically split. We went the opposite. We went opposing teams. We just fought each other. We attacked each other. And yeah, our relationship broke down, and it was to the point where it was, you know, we were close to getting a divorce, like legit. And it even, you know, through, because I'm kind of like, my wife and I are different. I'm an optimist. She's a pessimist. I'm future thinking. She's kind of like stuck in the past type thing. And I'm like, I understand how life works. I understand that life has seasons, and you go through amazing times and you go through shit times. And I know that what we were going through was just a winter period of our life. And I understand, like the seasons do. And even though, you know, sometimes when you're in winter and it's a long winter, right? But I know that spring comes after winter. I know it's inevitable. So kind of going through this winter period of our lives, like I was just like, you know, with my wife, I'm just like, well, hey, look, we'll come out of this. It's all good. It's just a moment in time. But she was so caught up in, hey, this is us for life. And the difference between my wife and I most of the time going through that winter period was that my wife saw it as that we were just going to get a divorce, and there was always discussions of divorce from my wife's point of view. I was always, hey, this is all good. It sucks right now, but we'll get through it. But it even got to the point where I got worn down that much that I started to actually think, oh shit, maybe my wife's right. Maybe we aren't going to last. And it was almost like, you know, because initially I had the belief that, hey, it's all good. It sucks right now. We'll get through it. And she didn't have the belief. Probably my belief helped the relationship a little bit. But when I started to lose my belief and Courtney had lost her belief, that's where it got to the next level again. Because it was all, I was thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe she's not right for me. Maybe we aren't meant to be together. Maybe we aren't going to last. So it literally was. If you're talking scale of 1 to 10, 10's like, you know, 10 out of 10, your relationship is the best it can ever be. 1's a divorce. We would have been at a 2. We got to a 2, as low as that. So going through all this stuff, you know, I started to develop all these chronic health issues, and like, and I'm a healthy person, yeah. I don't ever have shit wrong with me. I never go to the doctors. I don't take tablets or medicines or anything like that. I'm a healthy person, and in my 20s, I partied hard, right? And you know, I would have put my body through shit. But these days I've kind of got past, I've had my little party scene, and not saying I don't party, but as in I just generally, like I hardly drink these days, and I exercise. So I value health, and I value health because of what growing up with my dad, I had a really unhealthy dad. So luckily for me, growing up and seeing the problems that come with being unhealthy, my dad gave me the gift to value health. So thank you, Dad, for doing that, because I value health. But even with me valuing health, I started to develop all these chronic health issues. And they weren't major, right? They were just minor stuff. But I had dermatitis all over my fingers, like pretty bad dermatitis. I had a sore throat for months and months and months, and it wouldn't go. Wouldn't go. I went to the doctors and they didn't even know what it was. And I would just have, you know, pains and aches around my body and stuff like that. And I can't remember some of the other stuff, but it was just like things that would just persist. And I'd try all these things and these little ointments and medicines and shit like that. Nothing would go away. So it was not that I fully knew it in the moment, but in hindsight, it was pretty clear why I had developed all these issues. And it's simply because I was just crazy stressed. And me being a coach and someone where it's almost like I didn't realize I was stressed, yeah? Because as a coach, I was kind of forcing myself to show. I had to. I had a coaching business, right? I had to show up online. I had to show up emotionally and energetically for my audience, my clients, my team. And plus, I had to deal with just the daily challenges of running and growing a business, which, you know, if you being a coach, you'll understand growing a business is hard enough, right? Showing up for your audience is hard enough. Because we're human. You're human. I'm human. I don't feel amazing all the fucking time. And when I have to get on a group coaching call or do a group workshop or whatever it is, sometimes I'm not feeling fucking awesome. But if I got all these people paying me their money, I owe it to them to show up. You know, if I jumped on a group coaching call and, you know, I wasn't feeling good that morning, I jumped on and I'm like, hey guys, what's going on? Not feeling the best today. Like, it's not good enough. The standard that I hold for myself is it's not good enough. These people are relying on me to get over my fucking shit. Now, it's not about lying and not being truthful. What it is about is, okay, acknowledging that, being truthful in it, but you still got to fucking show the fuck up, man. These people are relying on you. So that's the standard that I hold for myself. And I think what was happening, well, what I know was happening, was because I had all these stresses going on in my life, but then I was, because my standards are so super high to hold it together, to show up for the people that need me, that was the, what was coming out of my body was all these chronic health issues. And the thing with the body, this is the amazing thing about the body, is that it'll give you little warning signs before shit gets serious. So before you get cancer, you'll get dermatitis on your fucking fingers. You know, before you have a heart attack, You might have a little bit of, you know, pains in your chest or something like that. The body is amazing. It gives you warning signs before serious shit happens. And I just know this from listening to amazing people who have been through very serious, challenging, you know, challenges, health challenges, right? So one thing I had learned was that, because I've never been through a serious health challenge in my life. I'm lucky. But that's what I had learned. I had learned that the body gives you warning signs before shit gets serious. And I knew right then and there that these chronic health issues, my body going, Luke, something's got to fucking change, dude. Man, if you don't change, you keep on at this, the serious shit will manifest. So, basically, how, and like I said, this ain't pity party, yeah? And I do want to mention that there's people out there that go through seriously hard shit. I would say everything that I'm mentioning here is pretty normal stuff. We all will experience this stuff to some degree at some stage in our life. In my case, in my story, it was just a set of waves. They were happening one after. Do you relate to that, where it's almost like a wave hits you and you get through it and you're like, oh, sweet, I'm done. And then another thing comes and you get through that and you're like, all right, sweet, I'm done. And then another one comes and another one comes. And have you ever been through that? That's almost like what it was for myself for 4 years straight. Wave after wave after wave after wave after wave. It was relentless. They never stopped. It kept on coming. And every time you get through some fucking thing, you'd be like, oh, sweet, okay, that's done. I'm out of it, yeah? And then it kept on coming. So that was, from a mental standpoint, it was fucking hard. But you know what? In the end, it almost got to the point where I'm like, all right, well, this is what it is. And it's almost like I kind of expected it, yeah? Towards the end, I was just like, okay, what's the next thing that's going to come? And what it did do is it made me strong to be able to handle and cope with all this shit. But saying that, just because I was kind of mentally strong to get through it, my body was still getting physically affected because of the stress. So the way that I kind of managed was by, I started relentlessly working on my inner game. Because again, I had to, with all this stuff going on, I had to still all the while be showing up as a coach and building a business, right? So I'm like, how do I, number one, get past all these health issues? And how do I also keep showing up in my business? Because, you know, my goal is to grow the business. So yeah, I just relentlessly worked on my inner game. So all the meditations I did, journaling, surfing, exercising, cold showers, breath work. I even started praying to bloody God, which, you know, I labeled myself an atheist a few years ago. Really got into spirituality and just, you know, thinking about it. Because that's the thing. One thing I've learned is with, if you're not born into religion or spirituality, usually people turn to religion, spirituality in fucking when things get hard. Because they're searching for, why is this happening to me, right? Do you relate to this? Why is this happening to me? And when you don't have any answers, because shit, one after the other is happening to you. When you don't have any answers, well, what happens? Because as the human brain, we're searching for answers because we need certainty. We need the answers. Why is this happening to me? When you can't find the answer, usually the last resort, people will turn to religion or spirituality. And that's what happened to me. I couldn't figure it out. Like, why is all this death coming to me? Why have I been outcasted from the world? Why is this happening with my wife? And why am I getting all these health issues? Why is this happening? And I couldn't figure it out. So I started to go look above, yeah? And that's where it kind of, it's a coping mechanism, because you go from, why is this happening to me? And you learn that, hey, this is happening for you. You start to learn, as opposed to resisting it all, to accepting it all, to basically hating it, to being grateful for it. And that there, that attitude and that mindset and that perspective saves you. It helps you get through it. So yeah, that was you know, like I said, there's some people that go through some very, very sad things in life that they're not even comparable to the surface level shit that I just went through there. People that seriously go through hard stuff and terrible things happen to them. I just went through some common things, wave after wave after wave. And ultimately, I started, you know, doing all the spiritual stuff, meditating. But not only meditating, because I have been meditating for years and years and years, but more to connecting with my higher self. There's a God in the world. Paying attention to signs in my life and all that type of thing. And it was fun. It was like a thing that helped me get through it. And one thing that I have got from is I have so much more respect for religion now. I used to think people who were religious were idiots. I used to think they were ignorant. I used to think they were brainwashed. But I totally get it now. And I think a lot of the practices that religions teach, I think are so beneficial. So I have a lot of respect for religion now. I'm not a religious person as such. I'm more down the spirituality path. But a lot of the practices and the values and the outlooks, they overlap so much. So, yeah, you know, you know, over the last 5 years, I have been knocked down that many times. My knees, my knees got so bloody and dirty from being knocked to the ground. Yeah, and yeah, there were times where I was down on the ground and I was having little pity moments. Why is this happening to me? Why? Why me? Why? Yeah, have you ever been through that? One thing that I was good at doing was getting back up though. I got knocked down, don't get me wrong. I did get back up fast. I don't know where I got that from, but I got back up fast every time. Like, and I'll give you an example of a knockdown for me. An example for a knockdown is I just start feeling really crap. I start losing my belief. I start having moments of, can I do this? You know, oh, this is all too hard. And it might last for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, but then I read a book or I listen to a motivational thing on YouTube. And do you know how many fucking times I've listened to motivational speeches on YouTube? Oh my God. I do meditation, I go for a surf, I do just something, right? And then I kick back up and I get that inspiration again to keep going and my belief starts, you know, comes back. So I always got back up really quickly, and I was very lucky that that was kind of how I was wired, because I didn't stay down long. You know, staying down for me would be like a maximum 1 or 2 days would be the absolute max. On average, probably half a day. Yeah. So I think, you know, when you do get knocked down, because you are going to get knocked down, you've probably already been knocked down. I think what's important, what I've learned from getting knocked down so many times is allow yourself to get knocked down and be okay with it, and just kind of feel what you're feeling. I think a great thing, I went through probably 6 months of journaling twice a day. That was when things were really, really tough. Yeah, that was last year I was doing that. Things were really, really tough in my life. I was just like, I need to get the thoughts out of my head. Yeah, and I was journaling twice a day. And fuck, you went back and read my journal, like there's some just absolute frustration, anger coming out under those pages, yeah? So I found that if you don't let all this shit out, it's going to stay in you, yeah? So you've got to let the negative energy out. So I found journaling and just writing down, it's almost like no holds barred. It's not like you're not like, you know, when sometimes you read a journal and you think about, oh, I'm not going to exactly say what I feel here just in case someone reads the journal. It's got to be you let everything out, and almost to the point where you rage. If you need to rage, you purposely rage on the page. Rage on the page. I found this super therapeutic, yeah. And so I did that for a while and just, yeah, letting it all out. What was I kind of going with all this? Oh, yeah, that's it. So kind of, you know, when I'll get back up first. I found by letting it out, yeah, so you know, if you, when you're feeling down or whatever, you kind of let yourself feel the feelings. And when you're ready, yeah, journal. Like if you can't speak to someone about it, journal about it. Because by letting it out of your body, you're getting it out, right? Then you kind of read it back and it just makes you feel a little bit better. And I think once it's out of you, then you can start looking forward. Because when I do that exercise and I do the journaling, one thing I would do sometimes was I would scream. I don't know if you've ever done this. This is another thing that fucking feels sick. Is you probably want to go do it where there's no one around. Otherwise, your neighbors are going to call the cops. But you just scream, yeah? You scream as loud as you can and you like throw your body around and stuff like that. I used to do it in the water sometimes. My mate and I would go surfing. I actually got it from him because he went through a stage where he was screaming in the water, mind you. So you put your head under the water and you scream under the water. So just all these things that kind of let it out, right? Once you kind of let it out and you've felt that just the pain or the frustration or the anger or whatever it is that's happening to you or the sorrow, maybe you're grieving a death or you've lost a partner or you've broken up with your partner or whatever. Then from there, you've got the opportunity to move forward. You kind of got it out of your body. And one thing that is super important is that I felt that a lot of the time is that when you do go into the letting the anger out and say you're journaling, a lot of the times like you're in a bit of a victim. Well, I was. A lot of that you're in a victim mindset. Why is this happening to me? Oh, this person did this or this person did this or blah, blah, they said this or this shouldn't be happening to me here. It's kind of like a victim mentality thing. I think the next stage is you go from victim mentality to taking accountability. I think it's a super important step. Making that shift from I'm the victim, this is happening to me, to hey, I'm responsible for my life and whatever's happening in this moment. Because when you take responsibility, you have power to change it. That's the powerful thing about it. So it's important. You got to drop the victim attitude, take responsibility, and then that allows you to start getting back up under your feet, yeah? You get back up on your feet and you take a step forward. And the sooner that you do this, the sooner you get out of your shit. I think a lot of the time people fall into their little lumps, right? And they just kind of delve in the feelings of, I'm a victim. And I think it's important to have, but you get to choose how long you stay there. You get to choose whether you stay there for a month or 2 weeks or 1 week or just fucking 1 hour. You get to choose it. So important to have the time to feel that shitness, but you get to choose when you let it go. And that, I think that's really empowering. Hey, I hope you're enjoying today's episode so far. Make sure you click subscribe to stay up to date because we release a new podcast every single week. And if you're getting value out of this, then share it. Share it with the world. Share it with someone that you know that would also benefit from it. And hey, tag us over on Instagram @Luke_Page and we'll give you a shout out for the support. Thank you so much. Let's get back into this. Yeah, I look at all this stuff that's happened to me, all this adversity, and I've learned so many things, so many unbelievable things. I've grown so much as a person. Now, I have compassion for so much more, many more people now. I understand so many people lose loved ones. So many people lose their parents. I can now have compassion and relate to these people. I can now be there for these people. So many people lose people to cancer. So many people have family members that go through cancer. I've now had it all, right? I haven't had it all, but I've had all of that. So many couples struggle in their relationship. I've been through that now. So many people and parents struggle when growing up with a baby. Been through that now. Financially, people have struggles. I hadn't had financial struggles in so long. I was fine with money, yeah? Now I get it, yeah? The last time I had financial struggles was when I was like 20 and they just weren't. You know, I had 7K credit card debt. That was it. That was like my financial struggles, which seemed like the biggest thing in the world now. Different when, you know, you've got a business, you've got a family, you're supporting a family with kids, you're down to one income, You've got investment property. You know, we've got two properties. We've got bills coming in fucking everywhere. Mortgages are going up. Cost of living's going way different. That type of financial stress compared to when you're 20 years old and you've got a little credit card debt of a couple of $1,000. So now I get it. I understand it. I've been given this adversity to make me a better leader. Because the truth was, previously in my life, I gave up way too quickly. I would just give up way too quickly in life. This experience has allowed me to, you know, help people who are being tested. Because, you know, when someone comes to me now, when one of my clients or someone comes to me and they're on the verge of giving up, this, I used to freak out. Whenever I'd have a client come to me and they're on the verge of giving up, I would take it like, you know, it's my responsibility and it's my fault that they're on the verge of giving up. And I would freak out because I'm like, oh my God, this is my problem. I'm their coach. They shouldn't be. And it would kind of rattle me. I wouldn't know what to do and say. Now when someone comes to me or one of my clients come in, they're on the verge of giving up, I'm just like, oh good. All I know is that I've just got to help them get back up under their feet because I've been through it. And I know if I can just help them get back up under their feet, then they'll take a step forward, right? They'll get knocked down again. Fuck yeah. And when they do, and they come back to me, I'll just help them get back up on their feet one more time. And then they'll get knocked down again. I'll just help them get back up under their feet. And just knowing that is just has made me as a coach just so much more effective in helping my clients and anyone who is struggling, who's thinking of giving up. Because giving up is something that everyone is going to experience. If you haven't thought about giving up right now, trust me, it's coming. It is 100% coming. So what a gift that I've been given that's helped me become a way better leader and coach now. I've learned the truth, right, is that as long as you keep getting back up, you will break through. And there's this nothing that'll ever change my mind on it. It's just a knowing now. As long as you just keep getting back up, you'll make it. You know, yesterday I redid our vision, which I hadn't done our vision for two and a bit years ago was the last time I did our vision. So I redid our vision. I was like, okay, I've done 5 years in my business. Time to update our vision. So it was exciting writing our vision. And I originally had the vision written for 2030, which is another 6 years from now. And I just thought one thing I've realized is that I'm 5 years in. And I initially thought when I first started my business that, hey, I've got a 10-year vision. But now that I'm 5 years in, I've just realized how short of a time frame that is, 10 years. So I actually extended my vision. I redid it and I put another 10 years on it. So my vision is for a 2034 vision. Because I'm just like, hey, I'm here for the long run. Like, you know, 10 years from now is just nothing. I've been 5 years into it. I know how quickly it's gone. And I just understand it now. I understand that 5 years in business is absolutely nothing. 5 years, you got your training wheels on, yeah? 5 to 10 years, you start to walk. 10 plus years, you start to run. So, you know, a lot of the people I look up to in business, man, they've been in business for 15, 25, 35 years. I'm like, well, that's just what I'm doing. I'm here for that long, if not longer. One thing I also did, which I hadn't done before, was also do a 3-year vision, which was really interesting because 3 years is so close. So writing a 3-year vision, that really got me excited because I'm like, that the 10-year vision is so long or far away, yeah? And even though you're pumped for it and it's here what you do, it's why you're here to do what you do, the 3 years, you're like, well, that's so close. So it really got me excited doing that. And look, I'm feeling good. Even though this 5-year thing is nothing, like in regards to it's a milestone in my mind, but it's no different technically than I was yesterday. But I'm just feeling good, feeling excited about the future. And I just understand that, hey, I've been through a shitstorm and I understand what happens with these laws that work in the universe, the law of polarity. Everything that exists has a complete polar opposite. So if I'm wanting my vision, which is an amazing life, yeah, I have to experience the polar opposite, which is absolute shitness. And I've been through the shitness now. So I understand. I get it. It's the price I've had to pay. I've said that I want that life and I understand that the universe is going, well, you have to experience the polar opposite of that, bro. It's one thing I've really learned with this spirituality stuff, which has really helped me cope. And also there's a law of rhythm, which basically means like the ebb and flow of the tides. You know, tides go high, they go low. Things flow in and out of life. And I understand that, hey, I've been through the shitness now. And what transfers from shitness is it goes from shitness to kind of greatness. And the pendulum is swinging back towards greatness now. And I'm just so excited about what's to come over the coming years. So thanks for listening. I hope you've related to even a little bit out of this. And we'll chat soon. Hey there, I hope you loved today's episode. And if you did, I would really appreciate if you could leave us a review on the platform that you're listening to this on right now. You see, your help and support allows us to spread this podcast across the world, and we can't do it without you. Apart from that, make sure you're following us over on Instagram at Luke_Page.